Appreciate that. Tonight's going to be a little bit different. It's not going to be long, but this is the direction the Lord's taken me. And it really has to do with this phrase that keeps showing up as I've read the scripture, and particularly in the Psalms. And it's this phrase, in the shadow of thy wings. Over and over you find that phrase throughout the Psalms, the great hymn book of scripture. And over it's a reflection of who and what we have in God, our protector, our refuge, our security, our salvation. The God, He is the one that we run to. He is the one that we can call upon who will come to us. We can truly live. I love this visual, mental picture that the psalmist paints, that we can live in the shadow of His wings. It's incredibly important, and I will tell you that perhaps if you're not in that place now in the need of that, you certainly soon will be. German pastor Martin Rinkert, he served in the town of Eilenburg years ago over in Germany. It was during the horrors of the 30 Years' War of 1618 to 1648. Eilenburg became known as a place of refuge, a city of refuge, but it became overwhelmed. It was crowded from the surrounding areas. The fugitives that ran to this city during the 30 Years' War, they brought a famine was going on in the country, and with it, they brought the disease into this little small walled town. At the beginning of 1637, the year of what was known as Great Pestilence in history books, there were four pastors in Eilenburg. One abandoned his post. He wanted to go to healthier areas. Couldn't be persuaded to stay. And when Rinkert tried, he couldn't be persuaded to return. Pastor Rinkert officiated the funerals of the other two. And so now, as a result of their death, he was the only pastor left. And he found himself conducting 40 to 50 funerals every single day. By the time the great pestilence had finally come to its end, he had performed 4,480 funerals in a city of only 14,000 people. In May of that year, his own wife died. By the end of the year, the refugees had to be buried in trenches without services. There were so many that were dying. Unbelievable horror that they were going through. What's amazing about this is that in the midst of all of this, only 2 months after his wife had died, Rinkert wrote these words that you'll see on your screen. He says, "With hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath led us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." How can a man write those kind of words? How can those kind of words, as far as providential care, when you start reading and studying Rinkert, he will constantly bring up this phrase back to you in his writings. And it's this phrase that I live under the shadow of his wings. And so tonight, for just a moment, I'd like to focus on that. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm, the 57th Psalm. Whenever we speak of the Psalms, it's just something you want to know. We're speaking of songs, so we're not speaking in terms of chapters. Psalms is not divided up the way the rest of the Bible is. When you speak in terms of Psalms, you do it and say Psalm chapter 57. In reality, you would say song. Take your books and turn to Psalm 57 is literally what you're saying here. In Psalm 57, I want you to notice how David describes in one of the places how we live in the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. He says this, beginning in verse 1, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed." Now, if you study in that, perhaps if some of you have headings at the top of those different Psalms, notice the heading of Psalm 57. This is a psalm of David when he was fleeing. He wrote this psalm while he was hiding in a cave. Saul was trying to kill him. Saul viewed him now as his competition. Saul viewed him as trying to push for a coup, for the overthrow of the kingdom. David was not going to do that. But yet, by this point, Saul had really become, some believe that he was almost paranoid schizophrenic by this point in his life. That if it wasn't that, then it was certainly an evil influence upon his life that was pushing him. And so David was the one that he vented all of his anger, all of his paranoia upon. And he was very vile, and he was going to catch him, and he was going to kill him when he caught him. And so David here, in the midst of running for his life, he was an exile, he was a fugitive running from the law. This is what he says in the midst of all this. He says, I'm going to trust, my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be past. How do we rest in the shadow of his wings? Well, first, we realize that in the shadow of his wings, it is a place of refuge. It's a place to run to. Some of us in here are going, I know, I was trying to explain this last week to a couple of people that were training to be preachers. They were going to work in church ministry. I said, if you can just grasp this idea, Joseph Parker had made this statement years ago. If you can understand that the people that you're preaching to, the people that you're speaking to, many of them are going through unbelievable suffering. Many of them are going through trials that no one understands. If you can continue to preach toward hurting people, you will always be sure to hit the mark in your preaching. If we could go across this room, if I could just share with you what I know as you look across this room. But so many more hurts are hidden. They're kept to oneself. This room is filled with people that are going through great trials, private trials, some public. Can I encourage you tonight to rest in the shadow of his wings? Because in the shadow of his wings, you're going to find a place of refuge. You're going to find a place to run to. You're going to find a place when no one else in your life understands, our God understands. He's the one who's the balm of Gilead. He's the great physician. He's the one that when we come, he does not chide. He does not scold. He is one that when we come to him with open arms, he welcomes us back and he provides refuge. Rest in the shadow of his wings. Take your Bibles and turn just a few pages over now to Psalm 36. Psalm 36, there's another place here that he references, resting in the shadow of his wings. Psalm 36, and look, if you will, beginning with verse 1. It says, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame. I'm in the wrong psalm. It's all right. We eventually would have gotten there. But let's just skip ahead, shall we? Psalm 36, look at verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great depth, deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. Now watch. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Exclamation point. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Not only as we rest in the shadow of his wings is it a place of refuge, but as we rest under the shadow of his wings is a place of security. It's a place of certainty. He says at the beginning of the verse, he says, how excellent is thy loving kindness. It literally means how consistent, how certain, how predictable, how constant is thy loving kindness. Another part of the scripture, he says that great is thy faithfulness. His mercies never fail. They're new every morning. It's a place of security. If you've lived long enough, then you've come to a place in your life where you have, in some sense, either become bitter in distrust toward people, or at least you become disappointed in the lack of trust that you can place in people. People are going to disappoint you. People are going to fail you. People are going to turn against you. People are going to lie about you. People are going to say and do things that you never anticipated them being able to say or do. Trusted people, perhaps even supposedly spiritual people. Perhaps they were spiritual people going through just a very dark time in their life. But people will fail. Spouses will fail. Eventually your spouse is going to fail in one way or another because they're going to die. They're going to leave you alone. Children go away. But Jesus Christ, as the choir sang tonight, never fails. Young people, can I encourage you tonight to understand this truth? As you go through life, you're going to put so much stock. You're going to put so much emphasis on friendships and relationships. What you're going to find in life, particularly at this age, is you're going to find that a lot of the friends that you have now probably are not going to be friends 20 and 30 years from now. The paths of your life may be almost unnoticeably different right now, but as the years go by, just a small little variance, a small little shift of just a few degrees will cause, as the years go by, for your lives to be very different, both geographically and even emotionally. It's just a fact of life. You're going to find yourself looking perhaps in situations to where people will turn their backs on you. You never thought that would happen. You can bank on one thing about people. People will disappoint you. So place your emphasis. Place your anchor. Place your hope. Place your passion on someone that will never disappoint. And Jesus Christ will never disappoint you. Years ago, a military officer and his wife, they were aboard a ship, and it was right in the, they got caught right in the middle of the storm. And when he saw the frantic look in her eyes, he was trying to unsuccessfully say, "Honey, it's okay. You don't have to worry about it. We're going to be fine. This is a huge ocean liner." And suddenly she grabbed a hold of his sleeve and she goes, "How can you be so calm in the middle of all this?" And this thought struck him. He was in his dress uniform. He stepped back a few feet, and in his dress uniform, he withdrew his sword. And when he withdrew his sword, he pointed at it directly at her chest. And he said, "Are you afraid of this?" Without hesitation, she answered, "Of course not." "Well, why not?" And her answer was, "Because it's in your hand and you love me too much to hurt me." So he replied to her, "I know the one who holds the winds and the waters in the hollow of his hand. And my dear, he will surely care for us. I will not be disturbed because my trust is in the Lord." People, understand tonight, I have to constantly come back to this place. That under the shadow of his wings, resting in the shadow of his wings, is not only a place of refuge to run to, it is a place of security to abide in. There's a third truth of resting in his wings. It's not only a place of refuge, it's not only a place of security, but take your Bibles now and turn a few pages over to Psalm 63. In Psalm 63, he begins writing in verse 1, "God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him." In Psalm 63 and verse 7, it says, "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I," what's the word? "Rejoice." See, in the shadow of his wings, resting there, it's not only a place of refuge, it's not only a place of security. When we rest in the shadow of his wings, let me tell you what that causes. It causes a life of praise to start to come forth. It's a cause of rejoicing. Look, if I have a place of refuge, and if I have a place of security, then one thing is true. I have a reason to rejoice. Even death itself cannot touch me, as we were talking about today. Eternal life is my reward. Eternal life is my certainty. Eternal life is my security. There's nothing that can defeat me. If Jesus Christ, if God be for us, and it's a rhetorical question that Paul is asking, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, the answer to that is no one can be against us. You can live in a fearless manner. And that's why he says, "I'm not giving you the spirit of fear," Paul's writing young Timothy, "but a spirit of power, a sound, literally a way, a dynamos, a passion, an ability to live life like others around you can't, of love, a way to love people and to understand that you're loved yourself, and of a sound, disciplined mind, that when the fears come and when the doubts come, when the struggles come, when the storms start brewing around, that we understand that even in the midst of the storm, we can praise him because we're resting in the shadow of his wings. Nothing can touch us. Nothing can ultimately destroy us. Then there's a fourth and final truth when we rest in the wings of the Almighty. It's a place of refuge. It's a place of security. It's a place of rejoicing. And then lastly, we must address the fact that it is a place of salvation. In Psalm 91, years ago, in the first, to show you how times have changed, in the first Gulf War, chaplains in the first Gulf War had Psalm 91, and the first 10 verses, they had it on a little a piece of paper that they would hand out. And they would hand it out by the hundreds of thousands to the soldiers. I love Psalm 91. In Psalm 91, this is what was handed out to the soldiers over in Iraq during the first Gulf War. These words, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence." Watch verse 4. "He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh into the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." I love what he says in verse 9. He says, "Even the Most High, you have made Him your habitation." You know, he's speaking of, he references it back in verse 4. He's referencing resting in the shadow of His wings. Make that your habitation. Tonight when you go to bed, before you drift off into sleep, remind yourself to rest in the shadow of His wings. Don't let the same fears come back in the darkness that normally do. Tomorrow morning, when the first signs of life start stirring, when the kids start to stir long before you do, when it's time now to get these teenagers to camp at 6 a.m. in the morning, when you know that the job, the same old, is coming at you, understand this, that you don't have to live life with boredom. You don't have to live life with a lack of joy. You don't have to live life with uncertainty and fear and doubt. You rest. Make the shadow of His wings your habitation. Make it the place that you live. One thing I can tell you for certain is that if you will do this, you'll never be disappointed. Thomas Edison, he invented the electric light bulb. Some of you may know this. I didn't know this till today. In 1879... How many of you knew that? 1879. 22 years later, in 1901, one of those newfangled gadgets, electric lights, were hung and turned on in Livermore, California, in the fire department of that town. What's amazing about that, Google it. That same light bulb that they installed, it still works. 114 years later. In fact, you'll find a whole website dedicated. The old bulb has not been turned off. It was turned off for just a short time in 2013. It was turned off for 10 hours, and they were afraid that it wasn't going to come back on when they restored power. So what they did is they bypassed the generator they'd been using. And when they did, they were going to see. They were afraid it was even going to blow the bulb, and sure enough, it turned right back on. So in the past 114 years, the bulb has not been burning for only 10 hours. And we think we've got something with LED lights now. They're holding out on us. What's amazing about this is that the light bulb was produced by the Shelby Electric Company in Shelby, Ohio. They recently found a unique bulb, never seen before. It was contained inside the walls of a house of the guy who had formerly owned the Shelby Electric Company. It was put in even behind plaster in his walls. Well, then why don't we have those bulbs anymore? Well, I think the answer is obvious. When we live in a capitalistic society, Shelby Electric Company went belly up. When you make bulbs that burn for 114 years, people rarely come back to buy your bulbs. And sure enough, they couldn't make it. Can I tell you something? As certain and as fail-safe as a Shelby electric bulb is, when 114 years have passed, God's promises and the certainty of their fulfillment will have only just begun. So let me encourage you tonight, Christian. This anxiousness that's become such a normal pattern of your life that you're just settled on the fact that fear and panic is going to be just a regular process for you. Rest in the shadow of His wings. When it seems like those enemies around you are constant, they're unrelenting, they're fierce, and they seem invincible, understand that it's a place of refuge. When everything else around you is turning its back, when everything else below you is crumbling, understand that resting in the shadow of His wings is a place of security. And as you understand it, then let me tell you what normally is going to flow from you. Find your life. I used to sit in church services like this, and I still have to fight this every once in a while. And what I have to fight is this urge. You know what? What are people going to think if I raise my hands? What are people going to think if I cry? What are people going to think if I say amen? What are people going to think if I somehow express myself in maybe not so a cultured way as a pastor ought to? What a bunch of baloney. And I'll tell you why. Because God did not call us to be sophisticated and reserved. God called us to rejoice in the Lord. Live your life not worrying about what others around you think. Understand that as you rest in the shadow of His wings, what others think is really non-essential. It's what your Savior has done for you that matters. And know that in Him and in Him alone is found salvation. And if you know Him as Savior, then my friend, you are eternally secure. So rest. When the fear comes back, remember these verses. Rest in the shadow of His wings. Let's stand together tonight.